Episode number 169, Online Tournaments. Welcome to the Heads Up Poker Podcast. This is Steve Barton, and thank you for tuning in. About this time, I'm either going to be doing one of two things. I'm either on a flight back home from Bangkok, Thailand, or I'm heading down to a beach to stay another week in Bangkok, Thailand. So if you guys get one more of these episodes, then I went to the beach. Oh, okay. First world problems. All right, on to the hand. This is a hand from America's Card Room. It's a 3K guaranteed turbo mega stack. So you start with 10,000 chips, you know, hundreds of big blinds. And we're still in the beginning stages of that. First, I'm going to tell you about TPE, Tournament Poker Edge. You got to study. If you want to win tournaments, sign up for TPE. These guys have specifically designed the website for tournament players just like you and me. They have live and online training videos. Andrew Brokus has oodles of live tournaments he's played, and so does Nate, and they review them hand by hand, every single hand that they played. I don't know how they get all the details, whether they use a voice recorder. I think Nate actually writes them down. He must have some Mike Caro way of quickly shorthanding the hands or something, but however they're able to do it, those videos are amazing. And there's plenty of online videos too. Alex Fitzgerald did one not too long ago reviewing a tournament that Carlos did. Kind of poked fun at him the whole time. It was, just a fun, interesting way to learn the game. You'll notice a difference in your game right away. I mean, I know I did. And I think even more importantly than that, what this does is it expands your poker social circle with great players. You know, what the five closest people that you hang out with are going to influence you. If they're overweight, then you're going to be overweight too. And if you surround your close friends as poker players that are great, then you're naturally going to get better too, because you hang out with them, you talk cards, and you do it over TPE. Join now using the code HUPMONTH, HUPQUARTER, or HUPYEAR. You just type that in. When you click it, you can actually see the discount. I love that part. That's a small piece that I'm able to bring through this podcast from me to you. Okay, on to the hand. Blind levels are 50-100. It's an ACR, turbo mega stack, 3K guarantee. So the buy-in, it doesn't say here, but I'm guessing between $20 and $50, something like that. Blind levels 50-100. It folds around to the cutoff, who raises, and he makes it 200. So he min raises. He is a 28-19 5.8. So that's he's playing 28% of hands. He's raising 19% of them, and he's 3-betting 5.8, 6%. Okay? We've got a decent sample size on him, and what we are on the button here with ace-king offsuit. We've got ace of diamonds, king of hearts. So what to do here? No real active guys in the blinds as far as, you know, one guy that's just always 3-betting here. We don't have that. We got two regular players in the blinds. I like a 3-bet here on the button with ace-king off suit. Isolate the initial raiser. We'll have position, get the blinds out. We want to be in position playing big pots with superior hands, heads up, those four things that Alex Fitzgerald just drives home in his videos, and we can do all of those if we raise here. So, sizing, we're going to have position. 2.5 is his bet, so, I don't know, 550, 600, somewhere in that ballpark. Maybe even a little bit bigger, because there's a stat on here on the HUD that I'm going to take advantage of. And that is his fold to 3-bet stat here. So versus a 3-bet, he folds to a 3-bet 43% of the time. So he's calling more often than not when 3-bet. And he even 4-bets. He's 4-bet, we've seen it 40% of the time. This is the guy that we want to get money into the pot with here, especially with ace-king. We're 85 big blinds deep, and he's 131 deep. So we got 85 bigs. We got lots of room to play. Okay, so we 3-bet. We go to 578, keeping with my random theme for bet sizing. As far as instead of making it 600 or 575, I make it odd amounts like this. I don't know why, but I do. Okay, so we make it 578. Both the blinds comply and they fold. And villain this time chooses to call and not 4-bet. We go to a flop with ace of diamonds, king of hearts. The flop is ace of hearts, seven of spades, two of clubs. So we have no possibility for a flush, no straight possibility, but we have top pair, top kicker on a pretty dry board. villain checks. When he checks here, I think we're almost always good. The only hands that we're worried about right here would be pocket deuces, pocket sevens. If he's got pocket aces, then whatever, we're paying him off. Ace deuce and ace seven. He might raise those and then call them if they're suited from this position. He might call if they're offsuit too. The guy doesn't fold too often to 3-bet, so who knows? But anyhow, here, I think we're just crushing this. There's really no card that we're worried about on the turn. When he checks, I think we really should check here. I think he's got a lot of like broadways and, you know, stuff under an ace. So we check behind. With 1396 in the pot, the turn is the jack of clubs. So the board now is ace of hearts, jack of clubs, seven of spades, two of clubs, putting up a backdoor club draw. Villain here checks again. At this point, we got to get some kind of money in the pot. We got to, I guess we could check again behind, but I think he could be checking here with, queen jack, king queen, queen 10, king 10, you know, all the broadways, a lot of which have, hit a jack, queen jack, things like that. He may check here again with a jack, thinking that, I could have an ace. He might be checking club draws. He's probably betting. But, you know, if he raised with something like 7-8 on pre-flop and then called that because it was suited, he could conceivably have a 7. We need to get value here. So we bet out. Into 1396, sizing on this, I think we should bet something like... you got to think, what are you value targeting here, as Andrew Brokus would say? I think we're targeting jack, I think we're targeting seven, and we're targeting, if for whatever reason he checked twice, kings, queens, I don't think he's had those here because he didn't 4-bet, and he 4-bets a lot, so I think he's going to 4-bet his nutted hands more often than not. Into 1390, so into 1400, I think maybe like a third pot or even less, would be sufficient to get called from a jack, get called from those broadways with a gut shot, charge him. We bet 368, and villain check raises to 1015. Okay, what would he do this with? Let's replay the action. All right, he raises pre-flop. We 3-bet him. He calls. It goes check, check on the flop. And then he check, I bet, and he raises. So he check raises the turn. I think these could be broadways. Maybe he picked up a flush draw on the turn and he planned on check raising it. I think he could have a worse ace. And he could have played a set kind of weird. I think by the turn, you want to bet a set. But maybe some kind of... he could have some two pairs, I guess. Ace-deuce. Is he really checking twice there with ace-jack? I don't think so. Maybe he is. But I think he's got a lot more hands that are like... bluffs here. Look at it from his line. It went check. I raised. I three bet him pre flop. It goes check on the flop. I've kind of had a weak line. He checks the turn. Then I make this real smallish bet. That could look like a steal attempt. I flick in a call. Pot now is 34-26, and the river is the four of diamonds. Okay, so the final board. We have ace-king offsuit, and the final board is ace-jack-7-4-deuce. And villain checks. Okay, so what does this... Can we value bet this? If he check-raised us on the turn, and he was nutted, wouldn't he put out like some kind of little value bet here? Is he really going to check-raise us off this hand? If we bet the river here and he check raises us again, I don't think we're ever good. I think he maybe river two pair for ace four or something. I mean, he's not raise calling there with any terrible hand like jack deuce, jack four, jack seven, 7-4, any of that. I think if his check raise meant something on the turn, then I think it's more often a bluff. Just because all these other low cards here don't correspond with anything except the worse aces. I think we need to value bet this river. Just in case he did that check raise with like queen jack. I mean, us checking back the flop, maybe he's thinking we would bet with an ace there. I think we need to value bet this river. Into 3,400, I like just some little like curiosity bet like 800, you know, and see if he can get called by that. Unfortunately, we don't. We check behind, and we win versus king-queen offsuit. So, from his perspective, he raised from the cutoff. The button three-bet him. He called. I kind of like the king-queen as a four-bet more than I do a call there. I think it's either a fold or it's a four-bet, but I really don't like calling the three-bet being out of position for the rest of the hand. You've got to hand with good blocker value. I think he should have 4-bet there. 4-bet or folded. Obviously, knowing our hand, a fold would have been far superior, but we're going to be 3-betting there, you know, with pocket fives a lot and stuff like that. So, you know, if he were to rip over us with this hand, there's no way we could call. Yeah, so then on the flop, he checks it. He's got king high. He's got nothing. Then on the turn, he picks up a gut shot, and I think from his perspective, our little piddly value bet looked pretty weak. Thought he could get us off the hand, and if not, he's got a gut shot. So he raised it up. We did not comply, and this hand specifically, we wouldn't have gotten any value by betting the river, but I think we should. Hope you guys enjoyed that strategy hand. Let me know what you think. Tweet me on Twitter at HUP Podcast. I'm on Twitter. If you guys want coaching, hit me up, headsuppoker.poker. You can do the submit a hand or email me, headsuppokerpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in. And here is your weekly motivational speech.
I wish I didn't take life so seriously. I wish I didn't take life so seriously. I wish I didn't take life so seriously. I wish I lived more. I wish I gave more happiness to my family. I wish I knew how precious life was, how fleeting, how special, and at the same time fragile. Insignificant. I wish I didn't give up on my dreams so easy. One day, life will flash before your eyes. Make sure it's worth watching. When we look back on our life, in our last breaths, we will all wonder, did my life mean anything? Did my life mean anything to this world? Was I loved? Did I have an impact on anyone else's life? Did I matter? We won't be worried about our bills. We won't be worried about our hair. We certainly won't care about our favorite TV show. We won't spare a second thought of others' opinions and judgments. Did I matter? Before you reach that last breath, today might be the time to make a change. Make your life matter. One day, it will be over. There will be two dates, either side of a dash. Make sure that dash is not empty. Make sure it is full of life, full of living. Oscar Wilde once said, "To live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people exist, that is all." And he was right. Don't live like everyone else, existing. Be extraordinary. Live every moment with passion and wonder. Don't take anything or anyone for granted.